Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Ladies and gentlefish.
Gentlefish, amphibians, aquatic mammals.
Jigglefish.
Jigglefish. Let's give it up for the jigglefish.
The big ol' bitch.
Okay. Well, welcome to the Digital Fireside. I am your host, Alex Hall. And I'm joined today by my co-host.
Just a guy.
Just a guy.
He's not a hero.
Not a hero.
Luke Curtin.
Luke Curtin, how you doing, man?
A little sad.
Pensive.
A little sad.
A little sad. Why are you sad?
Well, my favorite Pokemon's not coming into the game.
All right. So
tomorrow.
I saw this like trending on Twitter. I saw people asking President Trump to please sign a petition I don't understand it. So as someone who has not played Pokemon in the longest time, it's been about 15 years, I'd say. How old am I? No, it's been probably closer to like 17 years, probably, really. Mm. Since I played like Pokemon, I think it was like Yellow, with the one with the Pikachu that follows you around. Explain.
The Pikachu, like you're so out of touch that you don't know what it's called. Everyone knows what fucking Pikachu is.
Well,
okay?
I know
he's had a goddamn movie.
True, he did have a movie. Ryan Reynolds. It's a great one. Was Ryan
Pikachu,
Reynolds?
What's his name? Little mouse guy.
Was Ryan Reynolds that? Was he ended up being his father at the end of that movie?
No, it was him. Detective Pikachu was Ryan Reynolds.
No, I know that, but like when they got their bodies switched back.
Oh yeah, the main character's mixed. Yeah, his white dad, black mom.
Oh, okay.
He's mixed in real life, so it works. But
it just works.
It just works. It's believable.
Totally believable. Yeah. So explain to me what the outcry is about the newest Pokemon release.
Sorry.
Add it to the counter. Explain to me the outcry about the newest Pokemon release, because I don't understand it. Like, I know there's Pikachu,
mm-hmm.
Charmander,
mm-hmm.
Wartortle.
You can't be serious.
I am.
You're not serious.
Dude, it's been a long time since I played Pokemon.
Bro, anyone who played the originals can name
Bulbasaur, Porygon, which was the kind of racist Pokemon.
How is he racist? How is it racist?
Do I really need to go into detail about it?
Yes, you do.
His name is Porygon.
Okay.
He's a computerized digital Pokemon.
Okay.
We not putting the pieces together here?
No, please explain.
It's supposed to be Polygon, but they call him Porygon because he's Japan. You not? Oh my God! Whatever.
Not,
so there's Porygon.
Calling you, buddy.
Executable.
He should be executable.
The eggs.
Yes,
There is
Exutor.
Charizard.
Or Executor.
Maybe. Charizard.
Right. Yeah. It's
kind
of the same
evolved
thing.
Form of Charmander.
Yeah.
Onix, and Mewtwo, and also Mew.
And a lot of those that you just named are not in this game.
Okay, so why is that a big deal?
Well, I mean, it is a big deal. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal personally. I think it's
okay.
As someone who appreciates people's craft and art and how hard it is, like from being programmers ourselves, like fuck, that's gonna take a long time. But to not include all 800 and something Pokemon, your new game that you're adding more hundreds into,
right?
On top of the new gameplay you're supposed to introduce, and on a new platform that you're not used to from. You know, you've been doing the same platforms for years. I don't mean the actual platform. I mean handheld, small,
right,
you know,
right.
Compact. I don't mean the actual physical one. But you're moving to new hardware that's brand new. People don't really know how to, like, do that. It's not a Nintendo studio. It's a third-party studio in Game Freak. And so people are like, oh, well, Mario can make it a big world, and Breath of the Wild could do a big world. But you forget there's different talents to everything. So, like, LeBron James in NBA is a different talent than Caldwell Pope. You know,
dude, you need a.
He's still. I'm saying he's still in the NBA. So like, there's developers out there that are just far more superior than other developers, right?
Okay.
And so like, you can't hold them to the same standard sometimes. But the reason why everyone's mad is because that is one thing.
Okay.
They say that they took them out because a lot of it is because they might have been caught in a lie. So they say they took all these guys out because they're working on the new innovations and graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the graphics have shown us have not really been. Some type of, you know, blow me away, amazing thing. So that kind of made people scratch their head. Like, this is what you cut all these people for? Like, this little slight increase in graphics from a 3DS.
Yeah.
That And on top of that, they got rid of, like, I don't know who's on the committee. One, I don't know who's on the committee that gets rid of the guys that did. They made terrible cuts. Just awful. Like, people's fan favorites, people like Dragonite. I'm sure you know who he is now I mention him. The biggest.
Yeah,
fat
if you
Dragonite.
Mention him, I will recognize him, I'm sure.
Like, he's gone. That's my favorite Pokemon, by the way. But he's gone. He's like, okay.
Okay.
And there's certain things that just happen.
Is Pikachu in there?
Mewtwo's not in there. Arguably the second most popular.
Is Pikachu in there?
Yeah.
What about Clefairy?
I don't think so, but Jigglypuff okay. is. I haven't. There's well, a list. There's a list Smash. Online.
I'm sure
shows
there is.
Who's in it. Yeah. But it's just like people feel like they were supposed to be given more. It's kind of like a sense of entitlement in my like in my opinion.
Okay.
We deserved more, and you know, the wild area that the open world part aspect isn't as full and lush as we thought it would be. Like Breath of the Wild is, and it's like.
Dude, there is. You cannot be serious. You didn't think there was actually be like a Pokemon Breath of the Wild.
A lot of people look it up. A lot of people. When it was announced
idiots,
after
dude.
Like Let's Go, after Let's Go, they're like, "Oh, no we're way. Getting a full fledged console game." They're like, "Oh, like because they looked like games like the old GameCube game was Pokemon XD or whatever. That was on GameCube. You could run around, do a couple missions, but like even that had more of a base of like open worldness than what we got here. Which I agree. There's certain things obviously that they need to have. Explanations for and not like, oh, we couldn't fit it in the code. It's like, no, you purposely made these cuts for a certain reason, but you're not telling us the real reason.
Well, see, what I don't understand is that, you know, as maybe as a Pokemon connoisseur, you could maybe better explain to me, but like, I feel like if I want a certain kind of Pokemon experience with the Pokemon that I like in it, I would just go play a earlier game because they seem to me to be very formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
They seem like, hey, you're a young kid. Here's a professor named after a tree. Now go out, pick your three starting Pokemon, go out.
Shit out of everybody.
Just
take their money.
Battle everyone, take their money, and then go conquer the Pokemon world. And it seems like to me, the only real variation, like I know they got like 2-on-2 or so, or like that one mobile game I tried to get into, I couldn't
Masters.
Do it. Yeah, do you play that at all?
Yeah, I kind of gave up on it too. But I'm saying like that was introduced in the main games, like 2-on-2. That's when like they were actual innovations. Like that was like 2-on-2 was the main feature of the next game in in Hoenn region, Gen 3. So
Hoenn region.
So it was what's Sapphire, like Ruby and Sapphire. It was on the Game Boy Advance. So
there's like a Hoenn region.
There's Kanto, Johto, Hoenn. Sorry. Kanto, Johto,
Hoenn,
Sinnoh.
What do they do in the Hoenn region?
Kalos, Alola.
Dude. This is why I don't give a shit about Pokemon.
But like, I was like, after Gen 3, which was like 2004, it's been shit.
Well, so who cares? Like, you play the new game, so, they
saying,
take out
just,
some of the
just
ones.
Keep the old ones. Like okay. you said, the old ones aren't going anywhere. It's like last time I was talking about. Oh, you ruined my childhood. Your childhood's not going anywhere. It's just ruining what you think is left of it. Maybe it's just not as good as it's going to be. It's not the same developers. First of all, people forget that it's not the same developers that made your childhood games. They may have been like 50 when they made those games. You don't know.
Yeah.
They're probably retired. The ones who made the original games and had those original amazing ideas and shit like that. They're probably, I mean, I don't know. Like, no one knows. Like, everyone's assuming they're the same guys. Like, people get let off and go, come different ideas. People like them, whatever. Mm-hmm. But people die. I think
oh my God.
That people aren't looking enough into it. Like, so if you had a movie, right? Like, so Joker is a great example. You go in there with the mindset of, oh, this was not the Joker that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't we get the Joker that we all know and love? You know? Where you could just take it as what it is. What was the product that was given to you? Was it good? Boom. End of story. Rate it from there. But people aren't doing that with this game. They're like, what should have we gotten? That's what's going to make the game bad. Like, I understand you can hold things to a certain standard. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, that cannot be your only gripe is the thing that you didn't get in the game. Like, play the game. If the game's bad, then the game's bad. There's no defending it. But if it's not bad and the reason why you hate it is because it doesn't have the things that maybe you wanted, like, I can't help you there, buddy. Like, that's not a bad game. That's just you being kind of a brat.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll just not buy this one then.
Oh, I'm buying it. I mean, I'm kind of like you and Kojima, where it's like, I'll follow them into the depths, man. I'll buy every Pokemon. Buy them all. I'll try at least try them all.
You got to try them all.
That's the thing, too. With Nintendo Switch games, like, dude, yeah, you buy it for $60, you can still get 40 from trading it in. You lost $20. Sorry.
Well, so your issue is you buy physical media. That's the problem. Is that you're not.
Well, that's the good thing. See, I can return it. And I can get money back for it. Whereas if you download the game, you're screwed with it. You have to have it.
Well, then so just make better informed purchasing decisions.
I'm just saying.
I mean, like, I'm not just going to buy a game willy-nilly. But, like, so here's a case in point. I was over at a friend's place, and they had an Xbox. And I was trying to, like, I was like, well, I don't really know what to do, yada, yada, yada. We're kind of bored or whatnot. I'm like, wait a second. I'll just recover my gamer tag on the Xbox. And instantly, I could access my entire library. Like, a ton of games
to play. Were you able to play them?
Yeah.
So that's the thing that that's one thing I think Xbox may have over PlayStation. Because I did that before. I've done that before on my other friends. So, like, I had a PlayStation Plus account. This was a couple years ago. I don't know if it's changed. I haven't tried it since. Huh. And I tried to play a game that I downloaded using PlayStation Plus. So it was, like, one of those PlayStation Plus free games a month, right? Hmm. And I logged into my game, my account, and downloaded that. But, for them to play it, they need to be logged in as me. Like, they can't. Like, so we can, like, if I went to your PS4 at your house and mine's still at home and I log into my account and play that game, we could play it together. But if I go home and let's say you want to play that game, but I'm on Call of Duty, I'm online, you can't play.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you don't have that instant access. Like,
well, maybe, no, but we were physically in the same location. I was playing as my gamer tag thing. So, like, that, to me, you know, I think just be smarter about the decisions you make when you buy games. That's just me.
So how's Death Stranding coming for you?
It's fine. I haven't had a chance to play it yet because I don't own a PS4.
I was just kind of wondering.
That's okay. That's fine.
Speaking
I can
of
wait.
One, bad purchases, and two, you need a PS4. So it's kind of a double-edged
sword. I'm not even going to bother now because they got the new ones coming out in like less than a year. Yeah, I've got a PC. It's great. It's phenomenal.
Get your fucking $5,000.
I think it ran me about $1,200 all total. But building it was like open heart surgery. It was just really intense. That processor, man, freaks me out. Anyway.
Yeah, that's how it's going.
That's how it's going. All right, so your life is grinded to a halt because of a Pokemon game meant for children, but okay.
Yeah, but this weekend is pretty big because, you know, the wife's going to town to hang with the family, have a little vacation.
Yeah,
so like, I'm home, I can play, you know, just chill out. I got Fallen Order coming out the same day, so. Okay, you know, if Pokemon sucks, I'll play that.
I saw that game. Someone was streaming on Twitch or on YouTube. They got, like, an early copy.
It's great.
I don't think it looks very good.
What?
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I don't think it looks very good. I think it's going to be, like, one of those
games.
I think
you just shut down your... Anything. You don't want to be touched. Like, you don't want the itch to come back. That's what you're shutting yourself out.
No, I really don't think it looks that good.
Because you don't want them to get you again.
I'm going
to
predict this.
You probably went the first day of Battlefront in 2015, the new reboot one. You probably went in there, pre-ordered it, and midnight release, didn't you?
No, I had EA access, so I got it for free.
Oh, okay.
I got like 7 days early or something. But that looks like a high 70s, low 80s Metacritic game. It doesn't look very good.
I'll give you mid 80s. I think it looks like 84.
I think it's going to be 81 is the highest it'll go. I predict 81, 82, highest it'll go. I'm like leaning right now towards like a 78.
Why? Like, why is it so?
So it looks very boring. It like so what it is when I saw him like running around out there, it was like a Souls game kind of, but like without the polish of a Souls game. Like the combat kind of felt really sort of janky.
They did that on purpose because they're only showing the first. All the gameplay out there.
No, he had
the first two worlds.
He had the game. He was playing it. Like he broke the street date for it, so he already had it. We were seeing the actual gameplay.
Okay. I'm saying like the gameplay is still the same as the ones that they've been showing. I'm saying
right.
It depends on where was he? Like what described the atmosphere, so I could tell if it's the same things as everyone else. Then that's because he's a Padawan. He's supposed to be getting better. That's the whole point of the story.
No, but like I'm saying, technology wise, it was just janky.
And all
it wasn't
getting better.
Like he
gets more polished as it goes. Is what they said.
Dude, no, you're missing the point. Like, it's not nuance in his animation. Like, oh, I don't know if I can hold a lightsaber. It's more like, you know, hey, I just, like, glitched and teleported, like, a foot ahead of myself. I skipped an animation and the guy's dead. Like, it doesn't look great.
There are such thing as patches. Such thing as patches. I'm just going to say that.
But he was in this, like, there was a lot of platforming. It was it wasn't like any distinct kind of looking world. It wasn't, I don't think there was any kind of snow or sand or
was it like
storm or whatever.
Like almost indoorish, not without all the trees.
No, he was like in the mountains or something.
Like
jumping around.
It's like some gray and green.
Yeah,
kind of. A lot of gray and green.
Yeah.
And then some machinery and stormtroopers.
Well, I think like with things like Souls games, I think there is a lot of like careful but deliberate momentum behind all the animations. So they feel like once you commit, you commit. This one feels like a really loosey kind of goosey. This is my gut. I don't think it's going to score that high, but we'll see what happens.
Speaking of
Souls
games,
because we straddle these releases, so this will be out probably a week and a half before this episode actually comes out. So people will know how it did.
Yeah.
Speaking of Souls games.
Yeah, I was just going to get real quick that I did text you, like, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything better so far in the world of gaming this year of playing and progressing through Sekiro. Like, successfully just like, oh. Because I put it down for a good, like, 4 months because I couldn't get past a boss. Yeah. And I finally did, like, I felt so weird, one, because I picked it up, and just like, I'll play it again. And I beat it on, like, the third try that night. Yeah. I was like, okay, so I checked the patch notes to see if anything happened. They haven't patched it since I left. So it's like the game didn't like get any easier. I was just like, was I just ass? or was I just in my bag today? Like, you know? But, and I went through it, and then I went through like a couple more levels. I'm like, I'm cruising through this game. What the fuck is going on? And I hit another halt today. So I was just like,
You should start taking that.
Take another day off. I have all the equipment necessary, so I might do it. But then I heard Twitch is on decline.
So. This guy's just falling in the game world, apparently. Jesus.
Mark Cuban just said that investing in an esports team is a stupid move.
I could see that.
All the athletes are coming out and saying, like, because Gordon Hayward, like I told you, we've mentioned him before on the show. He has a team, and, like, you know, he's big into it. He's a dual athlete. Mm-hmm. But, like, his teammates and stuff are now starting to buy, like, Overwatch teams and stuff like that. And it's like, he's like, that's not a good idea. This is not going to work out for you guys. Especially if you're guys the owners. Like, you are casual players. You don't know anything about the circuit.
Yeah.
And you're NBA. You're busy. You know, it's not going to work out. Which I agree. But, you know. Who knows?
Well, anyway.
But what about you? That's just me and my gaming weirdo world.
I'm glad you got that off your chest. It sounds like it was really weighing on you.
It's pent up, man.
Good Lord. Nothing too crazy. I completed my first. So I've been like kind of booking some different people to get on the show and all that kind of stuff. And one of the ones that kind of caught my attention is this guy named Cole Robinson. And he is a kind of personal trainer on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very adamant about fasting. And he's got, believe it is called the Snake Diet on YouTube. And he's
Purple Cobra.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because, you know, he's just talking about the different ways that fasting can benefit you and how to fast and that kind of stuff. So in preparation, because I wanted to have him on, I ended up doing a 48-hour fast. I finished it Tuesday, and that was
– you could not have felt good.
That was insane. That is the biggest misnomer about that stuff because there was a point around like hour 24 to probably – hunger comes and goes, but like 24 to maybe like 36, I was kind of like getting every occasionally like intermittent hunger pains or whatnot, kind of feeling whatever. But like I've noticed a substantial cognitive benefit from that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but it's really remarkable. How was your fasting though? Because I don't know if you knew this, but I did early in the summer, I did about a 2-week water fast.
Okay.
So that was a little different than maybe just cold turkey, not doing any type of consumption. But I had water fast and I felt great the first 3 days. And then all of a sudden, like,
that's what I
after the first 3 days, I was just like, one, I was super lethargic. My head was constantly like, come on, man, you got to put me down. And three, I was just like hungry all the time. Even if you fill up with water, like, it goes away. People like me, I guess, athletes, bigger people who consume more, who need to consume more, it just goes right through them. And so, like, after every so on and so forth, and my hot dog drank, like, I would be hungry, and I was miserable. So I was like, I can't do this. I got to find another way to fast. So like, how was it different from that for you? The fact that you're able to just kind of like, I'll do 40. It's 48 hours. So that's not anything to sneeze at. It's a long time not going with anything.
Can I right now, dude?
That was on plan. That was on plan. But like, how did you feel after that? I'm sure you felt vindicated in some sense. You know, mentally Gogginsy. But
yeah, I was channeling my inner Goggins with that. Jesus Christ, we gotta get you a cough button. Season 3, we're getting Luke a cough button. No, it was really interesting. there is a certain amount of like satisfaction that you get when you have enough mental fortitude to resist your most primal kind of desires and urges. Mm. And it's like, you know, my body is hungry. I want to eat. I'm not going to eat. And there is a, it's really interesting because I had such an aversion to doing this because I, for the longest time, I was doing OMAD, which is one meal a day. So, I mean, it's, you know, about a 22-hour fast, 23-hour fast, and then you have that one meal and then you're good. And like working up to that was pretty interesting. But taking that plunge, because we're, as a society, we're so conditioned to eat three meals a day. It's what we're taught, you know, constantly. And maybe that's a part of our consumerism culture or whatnot. But anyone I would talk to about that or what I was doing was like, well, you got to eat. It's unhealthy for you to not eat. And
it's
like,
I've been told that my whole life.
Yeah.
I never eat breakfast, and I usually only eat one meal a day, just like my normal.
Yeah.
Just the way I am.
Yeah.
And I think, well, recently, last 2 weeks, I've been doing Slim Fast. So, like, instead of eating, I just replace it two meals. I eat dinner every day. Mm-hmm. But the first two deals, breakfast and lunch, I'll have the Slim Fast shake. And that will help me get the nutrients I'm missing from not eating, but at the same time not.
But that's not fasting, though.
It's Slim Fasting.
It's not.
But I'm also working out at the same time. I've seen good results with it so far.
As long as you're seeing good results, by all means. Right. But, like, Cole kind of, you know, defines fasting as, you know, you are not consuming. There's two types of fasting, really. Three types if you want to get weird. But, like, the first type is a dry fast, which is, like, you don't consume anything. No water, no food, no nothing. You can't typically go long on doing a dry fast. I mean, you know, 3 days is kind of pushing it.
That's, but, like, captivation type shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, hey, I just, you know, I'm Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, we crashed. I don't know how. I don't have any survival skills.
Yeah. Second one is kind of like a wet fast or like a water fast, essentially, where you are, you're able to drink water and that kind of stuff, but you can't eat anything. Not even, you can't eat, you can't drink anything other than water, because as soon as you get calories coming in, right, it breaks your fast, you run it, you're done. The tricky thing with that is, from my understanding, is once you get around like the 48-hour mark, if you're doing water fasting and you're just drinking water, you're inevitably flushing out your body of all its electrolytes and all that kind of stuff. So you're going to feel like shit if you keep on going with that sort of stuff. Mm. Now, this is interesting, and I'd like to get you to talk to Cole. And I think what he says is that, because he does crazy long fasts, he's very adept at it. And he was saying that to get around that feeling, because the lethargy you were talking about and all that sort of stuff wasn't necessarily because you hadn't eaten. That sure as hell doesn't help. But it's because you kind of flushed all your body of all its nutrients.
Sure.
Because you kept on drinking all this water and then just pissing it all out. So he has this thing called snake juice, which is basically, it's like 2 liters of water. There's some pink Himalayan salt mixed in there. I want to say a little bit of maybe baking soda or something. All the stuff is zero calories. It won't break your fast, but it will replenish your electrolytes and that kind of stuff. So that's what you're supposed to do.
Is legal on the market?
Yes, dude. Yeah, I made it myself. Like, it's not.
Is this in the back of a?
It wasn't like the DMT stuff, all right?
This is Walter White shit.
Yeah. No, it's all, you can just buy it in the store. It's like, altogether, it's probably like $10.
This episode brought to you by Snake Juice.
Snake Juice. Go out and buy a copy of it. But yeah, so like, that's how you get around that. And that's how people can go for like weeks doing fasting. And apparently like the longest fast was like a 370 day fast from like this dude who weighed like 500 pounds. It's insane. He lost like 120 or something crazy.
You see, that's the thing, like, if I'm 500 pounds and I lose it that way, I feel like that's – people can lose weight so much or equivalently the same, like the same way by working out and just eating right.
Yeah.
What separates maybe this guy that you're talking about, what separates that research and that experience from working out? Is it just for people like you may just want to not have to work out and you just need to find a way to do something different? Maybe you're not adept at working out? Mm-hmm. Or is it just like this is a better version of what you're doing? You'll lose weight faster. Is that is it a different type of thing? Or like, how do you justify recommending that to someone?
So that's something I want to get into it with him. From my kind of understanding of like following his channel a little bit and looking at some of this stuff, you get results way quicker. Okay. You know, And like,
and that's an incentive for sure.
That is a big incentive. But a lot of that is to kind of help divorce and separate yourself from, you know, say, for example, if you are over, let's say if you are over 300 pounds,
okay,
automatically I'm going to assume that you have an unhealthy relationship with food. Like, I'm sorry. Like, really, honest to God. Like, I mean, as someone who is close to 300 pounds, maybe if not pushing
person,
over that.
We're not talking about, like, big dead, like, the wrestlers and, you know, professional athletes that are linemen, like, regular dude down the street, 300 pounds. Because there are some people who are just good 300 pounds. Andre the Giant's going to be 300 pounds.
Okay, if you're listening to this, you're not Andre the Giant. I'm just going to throw that out. He's dead. But
he's a hero.
He is a hero. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that you do not have a healthy relationship with food. And you are kind of addicted in a way to food.
Right.
Doing this fasting stuff helps kind of detox your body and break you from that cycle of being dependent on the shit you're putting in your body. He's saying, and again, go check him out. His name's Cole Robinson. He's got his YouTube snake diet and all that kind of stuff. He's got a very, let's say, intense presentation style. I'll have to show you a video after this.
Listen, you nutbags.
You'll see. But
oh, I guess I'm on the right track.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. But
you feel like shit every day? Good. You should. You're fat.
Yeah. You know what his tagline is? He starts every video with? No. He screams, "Hey, fatty." That's his thing.
Oh, God.
It's funny. It's got its own.
I mean, you're there for a reason.
You are. And, like, he's helped a lot of people. And so, you know, he's talking about how people go through, like, keto flu and this kind of, like, withdrawal stuff from getting all the shit out of your body that you've been kind of pushing in there over time. And it's really interesting how he's coached a bunch of people that have lost hundreds of pounds and kind of helping – the fasting stuff helps break that pattern of, you know, and starts to form more positive relationships with food. But, like, even doing OMAN, one meal a day – I was logging some of my weight stuff within about 20 days doing OMAD, and I am pretty sure I was lazy on the weekends. I'm almost positive. I can't pinpoint exactly what day, so it's probably less than 20 days of doing OMAD. I lost about 10 pounds, which is really
incredible. Also depends on what type of – well, obviously, I'm not going to say what type of person you are. Everyone's different, obviously. But
well,
I'm saying
true.
Like what type of, I guess – you're right when you're saying that you were lazy about it, but I'm saying, I don't know, for me, when I'm doing that type of stuff, I always stay stagnant. Like, it never changed. Like, there's certain things that I need to do that check off. Like, I need to, like, I hate doing it, but the only way I've ever lost weight, I've tried a whole bunch of stuff as an athlete, is just straight up running sprints. Like, even if I go run,
five
5K a week or something like that, you know, just keep running consistently, I don't lose any weight. I may get more cardiovascular endurance, but I don't lose any weight. But
if you're talking hit,
sprinting, like
high interval and training. Okay,
if I just start sprinting and doing like let's go to the football field and run 20 yards 50 times, you know, something like that. That's my workout for the week or something. I see amazing results. But the fact that you were able to lose 10 pounds just by doing that, I don't know what you were doing.
Well, to
in
be
the
fair,
interim.
as a preface for this, I was in the gym every day. I tried to maintain my my standard routine as much as possible, and that involves spending about an hour and a half in the gym with a mixture of, like, you know, weightlifting and cardio and that kind of stuff. So my activity level was not, you know, my BMR was not just like, hey, this is stagnant, sitting on my ass, just waiting for the fat to fall off. It was, you know, somewhat active, but...
And voila.
And voila.
New man.
I'm a new man.
Yeah, I think it'd be an interesting conversation to have, especially.
I think it'd be cool after that. We would be able to kind of like, we should do like a challenge or something like that and just kind of see what we can do. But
yeah, let us know if we can do a challenge or not. See, let's have Alex do something that sucks.
I'm already doing it, so.
Let's have Alex do something that sucks.
If it doesn't suck, I don't want it.
The best comment we will read and Alex will do.
Oh, fuck.
Alex will do it.
It's got to be within the
reasonable.
I can't.
Not like, go up on the building and do chin-ups on top of the building.
It'd be funny if you robbed a bank, did some cardio. Thanks, dude.
And just have the
it's probably that one guy.
Chase Luke in the getaway car.
Yeah.
Come on, you fat ass.
All right. yeah, I mean, so we'll see what happens. But it's been pretty cool. And, you know, I'm excited to, you know, keep on doing this. Because what I'm going to try and do, because I've been talking with him, he says the only way, two conditions.
Two
That he'll do an interview.
Oh.
And he's like, one, you can't be vegan because I don't do interviews, and I quote, with fucking vegans.
Well, good thing I'm not.
Which it's okay because I'm not a vegan.
Fucking faggot.
And I, all right. Jesus.
Save the animals. Animals are here for us.
Eat the animals. Cunt!
Just make it goddamn sense.
And two, he's like, you need to do a 72-hour fast, snake juice fast.
Does that include both of us? Like, am I allowed in the booth if I don't fast? Hey, who let that motherfucker in?
Well, I want to do it just out of curiosity to see if I can do it, because I want to push myself now, because I can do a 48.
72 hours, dude.
40, I mean, you did 2 weeks. I mean,
that's water.
Really,
that's water.
But snake juice is water with just extra shit.
Oh, okay. Oh, with his product. He kind of wants, I bet he probably wants to see the results on somebody. Like, I'm sure he's seen results on real people, but like, people who are skeptic about it and people he's going to talk to about it. He's going to want to know if you understand what he's saying when he's talking to you. So he's probably like, hey, you need to, it's like, read my book before you put me on the interview show.
Yeah.
So, like, so you can have something to say back and forth type of thing. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I know, but Dan, I really did do the water.
And you really, had no calories at all for 2 weeks? That's a lot.
It sucks. Especially as someone who,
that's
like
a lot.
When I do eat my, again, my whole life, even.
Was
like,
it to
my,
get
my
ready
best
for the
body, my best body was probably freshman year of college, which is about like 5 years ago. Freshman year of body, and I was about 215, lean, full six pack abs, all that shit.
Yeah.
Playing, you know, first full year in collegiate baseball, like they really get you in fucking shape that year.
Oh, I bet.
They're just like, hey, you don't know nothing about working out, all that type of shit. They do it. Everyone who has done it, they understand. But that, even then, I was only eating once a day. And that's just who I am as a person. I just don't, like, if I'm hungry, I just kind of like sit there, sit on it, and it goes away, and I'm on to doing other things. That wasn't that difficult for me. It was just the things that it made, the eating part was never difficult for me. It's just the way it made me feel not to. Because at least when I did eat one meal a day, I'd have that one just big old meal, and then I'm good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have like a small meal when I had that one meal a day. Don't get me wrong. Like I had a pretty good, I'll have some of that, I'll have some of that, and not worry about what the hell I'm eating because I'm working out like a hellhound every day. Here, with this, with the water, it was just difficult because I couldn't have that. You know, if I could have like one meal like a week type thing, that would have been even better. But the one, like, it was just tough because everything was just so different. And then obviously you have to be at the top of your game at work. And that wasn't helping because it's like, dude, I'm so tired and you want me to do all these fucking things. And so I was like, I had to cut it because I just couldn't perform any of the things that I wanted to do throughout the week.
That's crazy. 2 weeks, 14
days. If I had
days.
Nothing to do, if you just told me you'll get paid for doing this fast, kind of like if you're like Mr. Beast or something.
Yeah.
I would, for sure, I would do it. And I wouldn't think twice about it. Huh. But I don't know, man. 72 hours is a long fucking time.
Yeah. Oh, it is. But, you know, I made 48 and I bet you I could have gone more if I wanted, but.
I don't see myself doing it again. Cause the reason why I did it, because I, as you know, I'm a big fan of Tyron Magnus. And he did it back in his old days. He'd always talk about water diets and how it affected him. And he'd tell you what's going to happen to your body and all that shit. And that's the reason why I tried it.
And well, I think that the reason why you started feeling so shitty, like I said earlier, I think it's just because you flushed all your stuff out, man. Like,
so what do you think about those pills that do that? They was actually work. Like they have you go to the bathroom a thousand times. The cleanses.
Yeah,
you take two pills a day for 14 days.
I don't know. I don't know enough about that to weigh in one way or the other.
I used those. I did.
Yeah. I mean, all it seems to be doing is just flushing everything out.
Yeah, it just gets you out. But I mean, water will do that by itself.
Yeah.
It'll get all that
diuretic or whatever they call it.
Disgusting shit out of you. I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But
I'm sure we will.
Fucking 72 hours. Goddamn.
I'm sure we will.
Would you rather do that, or would you rather have to eat for 24 hours?
I'd rather do that.
Right?
I have to eat for 24
eat
hours.
For 24 it's hours.
Disgusting, dude.
So fucking awful.
It's puking. God.
And yeah, no one knows what type of food. Like, you're like after that, you're not going to want to eat.
No, I won't.
24 hours straight, goddamn.
So let's see. I'm trying to think if there anything else that's happened since the last time.
Well, Goku finally has the spirit ball, spirit bomb. He's ready to go.
Okay, good. About time.
Kid Boo's going crazy. You know.
I bet.
Last time we've been here, so we're ready to go.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to talk about. Oh, yeah. Do you think Trump is going to get impeached? I know we've talked about this sparingly here and there on the podcast.
I don't think it's going to happen. I just think he's going to lose the election. I think.
Okay. So you think he's going to go until the election?
I think he's going to be the president until the election, but I don't think he'll be impeached. I just feel they're not. It's not going around the right way. I'm sure there's like the thing that just came out recently was the like what he was whispering to the other guy about like in private or something about, and it sounded like. I forget exactly. I need to go back and research it. But like he had a conversation like whispering with somebody about like the Ukraine shit, and it's like that's like a red flag again, and people are investigating that. And I think with all these investigations, I still think like people. It's like kind of like OJ. I compare him to OJ. It's like everyone knows what he did and what he's doing. He's guilty, but you're not gonna get him. He's going to run free.
Well, see, here's the thing that I am confused about because I haven't been following this stuff. And it's actually been surprising to me how many people don't realize that he's getting it because everyone is just, he's been in the news cycle so much with this Mueller stuff over the past 3 years. I think everyone's just so numb to it. But like, here's what I don't get. The whole Ukraine stuff, like he was working quid pro quo with the Ukrainian government or something. What I don't understand is, okay, for some context, I dated this Ukrainian like bombshell back in 2014.
Oh, Mila Kunis.
Yeah, no, but like back in 2014, there was this thing with Crimea, whatever, and it was like really tense. But the crux of this stuff, and the only reason why I know this is because her family was so, into this kind of politics because they were invested. They had family back home in Ukraine and that kind of stuff. They were really worried, and like it was crazy, but. The Ukrainians and Russia don't really have a good relationship together. They kind of hate each other's guts. So it's like, what I don't understand about this.
They're always paired together.
What I don't understand is like, there's like this weird duality with this stuff where it's like, they want to impeach him for being a Russian puppet, but they also want to impeach him because of this like quid pro quo stuff with the Ukrainians. But like, I feel like, the Ukrainians wouldn't want to cover for Trump if they knew he was a Russian puppet because then that's basically like they would use any opportunity they could to blow up his spot and make him look like an idiot and like humiliate him because the Ukrainians fucking hate the Russians. So I'm like getting all this like mixed messages here with this sort of stuff. So like I don't understand what exactly they are trying to impeach him over. And I think that there's a – my gut with this is that it is going to – because I posted this question on my Facebook. I was like, well, could someone explain to me the left side of, like, why pursue impeachment if the Senate is controlled by the majority Republicans? Because in order for a president to actually, you know, get impeached, they have to be tried by the Senate. And the Senate has to support the impeachment. But if the Senate is standing with Trump because they're majority Republicans, it doesn't matter if the House votes on impeachment. It's not going to go anywhere.
I mean, this could just be the kerosene for the fire. I think maybe it's just like a red herring to where like maybe you think they want you to think that they want to impeach this person so like it just deteriorates his name even more than what it is. And so it's an easier win for election time.
Maybe.
Or do you think that's just going to backfire and like all these other people, not like the educated Republicans that actually just kind of like him because of what he does, but like these people who just don't listen to anything, like these redneck, all these like, ah, Trump. Yeah, we love him. Like those like South Park people making fun of South Park, like those type of people. We'll vote for him no matter what because fuck you. That's why.
Well, see, here's what I think
it's going to add more to that. To where, like, yeah. To get more support because of how much you're putting him down. Like, you want him down? Well, we're going to support him even more now. Now we're going to pay attention to the news.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think.
That's not my impression of white people. I think people are getting a little testy probably, but that's my impression of the racist white people.
Right. I think what it would do. If they can't get him, and I don't see how they could get him, because I think what they are relying on and hoping for is that
love does not fit.
Is
that, must is quit.
That I think they are hoping for to convince Republican senators to come on over the aisle and help support the impeachment, and I think that is a huge, huge task.
And you're asking someone in politics to be a good person.
Well, that's a lot. I think the people support him for their own reasons, but I think that is a lot to ask from a Republican senator. And it's a lot to place all your eggs in a basket on.
Right,
So what I think is that what this is going to do if they can't. I think this was a huge misfire. And I think Tulsi Gabbard was right about this. I think she, I don't know what her stance is now. I mean, everyone flip-flops politics, but like, not to excuse that, but I'm just saying.
Particularly Mitt Romney. He's the best pancake out there.
But I think that this was a huge mistake to go after the impeachment stuff, because I think what it's going to do, once they can't get him impeached.
Now what?
That is going to, like you were saying, just basically be like a rallying point and be like, they tried to get me out. They couldn't do it because I have done nothing wrong. Let's do it. Let's beat them. And they're going to be like, yeah.
Let's continue to make
Let's
America.
Do it. So, you know, I think that the Democrats, you know, I'm going to keep on saying this and beating this drum.
Let me just think about that.
They can't get out of their own fucking way. And they are shooting themselves in the foot. They are running out of toes to shoot. And they are – they –
You know what's funny about that to me?
It drives me crazy.
Is that, this is a country where you should be innocent until proven guilty. But obviously in everything that goes on when it comes to reputation, it's always guilty until proven innocent, correct? Usually.
Yes. Well, in the eye of the public.
In the public,
yes.
Yeah. So in this instance, why wouldn't people apply that same logic? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think it splits down the middle.
I think Trump will be all, you got to prove it.
Yeah.
But if it was Obama, oh, he's fucking guilty.
But then
that fucker's guilty.
But on the opposite side, it's the two sides, they just switch, depending on if it's a Democrat or a Republican.
Right, but if you were a owner of a company, right, and I'm your employee.
Yeah.
Let's not even say your owner, just your boss. You handle my firing or hiring, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just doing all of these just normal stuff, but people come up to you like, hey, man, Luke's harassing us in the hallways. It's like, all right, blah, blah, blah. And another month later, hey, man, Luca misplaced my project and we missed it for the – and just all this shit keeps accumulating to you.
Yeah.
And there's no proof of me doing any of this, right? But people just keep doing that. What are you thinking as an employer? Are you like, you know, I'm just done with this Luke nonsense. Like, I'm just going to cut him? Or you'd be like, hey, like, you guys can't prove anything, so he's going to stay until it happens. But it's obviously disrupting the office and your business. You're not getting production done. But wouldn't you think you would just cut ties with him anyway? Like, hey, you're not working out. You're not a fit for what we're doing here. And again, you could say, oh, well, you can't just do that because then we could do that for anybody. Well, the same thing, you could do this both sides, like you said. We could flip-flop and do that for anything and anywhere. Like, slander is no longer a thing anymore for some weird reason. It's a law. You're not allowed to do it. But for some reason, it's not. And it sounds like I'm actually defending Trump right now, to where it's like you can't just – say something and then it makes it stick. I agree with the fact that you have to prove it.
Yeah, I
agree.
But
for some reason, no one's holding that accountable now.
Well, so here's the thing. I'm thinking of in terms of like saving the – trying to like save, quote unquote, the country like afterwards.
Sinking ship?
Well, I, like honest to God, like depending on how they handle this kind of stuff, this is a very slippery slope because you have so many people that are so incensed and so outraged. And I think that, you know, if you are going to impeach Trump or whatever, you need to cross your T's and dot your I's to an insane amount of degree, because if you don't, his base is never going to forgive that or forget that.
It needs to be
insane. So like
– Osama bin Laden hit. This is our chance. Do it. You know, it needs to be something like that.
And I know I flip-flop on this a lot just based on the current climate that we
– Not very credible, but
– Not very credible. I'm not a political analyst. So like just FYI. But Dante's still going to be in Smash, and Goku's going to be the final character announced for DLC Pack 2.
Hat kid for Smash.
Kid Boo in Smash. So I think that unless there is some sort of like crazy thing by Yang, I think it really is down to Yang.
Oh, come to the light side of the forest.
Or Tulsi. I haven't heard too much from her lately. But
if you need some more confirmation on Yang, you need to go look up the Ben Shapiro Yang interview on Shapiro's show.
Okay.
That interview like months ago is really like what it's kind of like, okay, this is our guy.
I think that
it's just solid questions from Shapiro, who is on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Is answering solid questions that aren't unbiased, just straight up like factual, like this is what you've done, this is what you are doing. How is this going to make sense for us? Why should we vote for you? Type questions, you know. And then he has his own spin on like his, you know, his crazy thoughts.
Yeah.
Yang answers them with such like precision, and it makes sense. He's not dodging any of his questions. If he adds another question on top of a question, he'll get to his first question, then answer that question. He won't just forget about it and act like it wasn't asked, you know? Yeah. It's just, and Shapiro applauds him for it. He's like, you know, most people wouldn't do this. Like, thank you. Like, this was a great, like, and all the people in the comments agree, like, this is, like, one of the best, like, just, like, it was so refreshing to see just both sides just, like, okay, let's just talk. And obviously, Shapiro disagreed with some things.
Well, Shapiro. That's what he does.
But I'm saying, like, I respect both.
No, actually, it's wrong.
I actually love Shapiro.
I do too. I actually love him. Yeah.
And he both of them just went after it. It was just a good, solid debate. Not a debate, but just, like, back and forth. It was good stuff.
Hmm.
Have you seen that thing with the, sorry, it's kind of like a 180, but, like, the North Korea stuff that just recently just went out?
Dude, what are you talking about?
I know. I'll ask you after that. Okay. but I just read in the news now that I
see this YouTube video? There's other things?
No, like the nuclear, like there could be like one at any moment or whatever. Like
I doubt it.
They're testing their patients. The United States is testing North Korea's patients.
This shit happens every 2 years. It will be fine. Kim Jong-un is going to get his like ego placated and he's going to go back in. It'll be fine. I don't even worry about it. Anyway.
Trump's going to be like, after he loses and is the new president.
Dude,
look what they did in Korea.
I don't think they did in Korea.
They fucked it all up.
I really don't think he's going to lose. That's my gut. I think it's going to be crazy.
He's going down like timber.
Anyway, all right. So we are finally going to get to your emails. We have started a new little segment where we actually have a call-in line now. And I'm really excited about this. So basically, you can call in to this number. Let's see if we can bring it up here. 323-207-5637. Leave a voicemail. It can be from anything. And, you know, like a shout out, say, you know, what, you know, a great job we're doing, what a terrible job we're doing.
Just be wazah.
Just wazah. So I'm excited because it kind of gives like a cooler way to engage the audience. Than just reading comments on videos, which I love that too. So if you want to do that,
I love doing that.
Luke loves comments.
I love comments. Keep them coming.
All right. So I'm excited. It's kind of like a radio call-in station a little bit. So it's like, you know, we could do this like, you know, we got Hot 97 here. We got the. All right. So everybody, get ready. First caller, go ahead.
Hey, big boy. So excited for season 2, just so I can watch you in that booth all day long. Stalk you later.
So thank you for your call.
I should have known this was going to happen.
Honored to be stalked. Never been stalked before.
There you go. Yeah,
you know, it's a step up. I guess that's good.
I
can defend myself a little bit. It just depends on what type of stalking it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support.
Thank you for being alive.
Thanks for doing that.
But yeah.
Okay.
No name.
No nothing. That's
thank
not
you, Ms.
scary.
Anonymous.
Yeah, that's not scary at all for me. That's great. All right. Let's go. Next call.
I think he just stubbed his toe.
This is maybe not a great idea.
I feel you, buddy. I was either that or Fred Flintstone calling, yeah! Wilma!
All right. Well, let's keep on going down here. We're already committed to the bit. All right.
Hey, guys. Thanks for this tremendous opportunity. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm just sitting here with three questions today, and I'm hoping you guys could kind of give me some guidance here. So I'm watching The Price is Right, and when they call a contestant down the contestant's row, you know, they parade out the little item, and everybody makes their bids. If you're the last bidder, is bidding $1 more than the highest bidder a dick move or a sound strategy?
Okay,
first. Love just the casual question. Gotta love it.
Well, this was on a lot of people's minds, I'm sure.
Price is Right.
I would say, like, you know, if you're there on The Price is Right, like, you're not really there to make friends. You know, you're there to go
fuck
home.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, you're here to go home with, like, some money, some serious cash. So, you know what? If you think that person can be undercut by a dollar or overcut, I don't know how it works, the right vernacular for it, I think that's a sound strategy. What do you think, Luke?
I think it's – I mean, it's – it's something you wouldn't do at, like, a family game. Like, if you were in your family, you'd be a dick to your family like that. But why wouldn't you do that on national TV for millions or a good amount of money on a vacation?
I think it's almost safer to do on national TV because, like, there's always a threat of, like, imminent violence when you do it in a small, confined space with your family.
Right.
You know, like, someone could just start swinging. I'm guilty of that.
Like, you motherfucker!
Yeah, yeah.
Bingo, bitch.
Took Hollywood Boulevard, you son of a bitch!
Scheming that for five turns.
But, like, you know, if you're on national television, you can't really.
But what if someone does one under and they win? Is that the same? I mean,
that is still the same, but it's still well.
I just feel like maybe you guys had a similar idea, but you had to go up above, below. You can't, like, have a monopoly on, okay, my 10,000 is here, and you have to go at least 10,000 higher, 10,000 lower.
Well, so here's this idea. So what if, like, you had a person on the inside, or, like, you found some sort of camaraderie. I know I said not to make friends on The Price is Right, but, like, you had some sort of camaraderie with another contestant, and you said, hey, let's screw that guy out of everything. And you work together to, like, bid $1 over and $1 under. Mm. Is that considered, like, cheating?
Yes. 100% cheating. Yes.
You think that's actually, is that a cheatable?
It's collusion.
That is collusion.
If you did that in a fantasy league, you'd be kicked out right away.
That's a good point.
Hey, we're going to take these, I'm going to trade you this guy because he's playing really well right now, just so you can beat the guy we don't like in the league so he never comes back. It's fucking collusion.
That's not, okay. I think that is.
But I would say, no, it's not a dick move. Like I said, you're not there to make friends. You're there to make money.
That's true.
Okay.
That's a good point. Well, let's listen to what else he has to say here.
Next question. When you look at the audio mix, like on your car stereo, you're always going to move the treble up anyway. Should that not be the new default setting for treble? Then likewise, why does every toilet paper roll label their product as a double roll when that's become the new industry standard? Would that not just has now become a single roll? really curious to get your guys' thoughts. Keep up the good work.
All right. Well, thank you, Connor. But I will disagree with that second question.
Okay.
First of all, I never touch the treble. It's all about the bass.
I always touch the treble.
Always about the bass.
No treble.
Bump that bass the fuck up. Hmm. Feel that song. I'm not saying I'm the low rider like that you get parked next to a boom.
Okay,
I'm not that.
Can we not just destroy the
I roll in a RAV4, okay? I'm not someone that's going to be look at me type of loud.
Right.
You know, but I like to have that bass. Most of the music I listen to is heavy vocals anyway, and there's not a lot of, you know, instruments to get in the way. Maybe the music you listen to, you need to turn up the treble so you can hear what the fuck he's saying. But I'd say no. I don't think that's a standard that it needs to be. I mean, just having it all equaled out and being able to customize the way you want, that's just how it should be. But everyone's car is different. Everyone's hearing is different.
Yeah, because if you automatically turn the treble up and you say, okay, well, everyone does it anyway, let's remove that. You're removing choice from
right.
people.
Yeah,
and people don't
bullshit.
Like that. But here's another
it's
point.
Kind of like abortion.
Are you really going to fly that flag right now, dude? oh, my God. Digital Fireside's canceled. Got too political too fast. We got to ease.
He's like, really? On my fucking question?
I don't know. I don't encounter that anymore. I know what he's talking about, but I really haven't used a car stereo like to listen to the radio or CDs in a long time. It's always been a Bluetooth to my iPhone.
I still rock the CDs.
I don't.
Radio every day. Yeah. Radio every morning. 105.7 here in Indy. Got the oldies and then my, you know, actual CDs, Michael Jackson, all that shit.
Weird. You do know what Bluetooth is, though, right?
I do, but I really enjoy, like, again, I like my old media. I like my old media. And then third, toilet paper. Yeah, I agree.
The toilet paper, that's legit. I understand it completely. And
they're trying to sell something that, you know, not everyone, I didn't really know that. I'm saying, like, not everyone knows that information. So if you sell it as if it's something brand new or something different, then the person looking at the product will be like, oh, a double roll. You know, yeah, you're selling them something that's not there. It's just being a good salesman. And, I mean, yeah, I agree. It should be cut out.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
Okay. All right, next caller, go ahead.
Alex, it's Max. Looking forward to season two of the Digital Fireside. But riddle me this. How come you have not done a Digital Fireside by the fireside? Don't worry, season two, I'm bringing the fire. See you soon.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
It's a good question, but you had to have caught up with the namesake. The reason why it's called Digital Fireside is different. It's not literal.
No, it's not like literal fireside.
Max, it's more of a thing to where it's supposed to have that comfortable feeling of you having a conversation and somewhere relaxing.
Yeah.
That's really kind of the vibe that Alex was going for with the name of it.
That's what I started out with. Yeah, anyway. I don't know what the hell it turned into.
I mean, if you want it to be like a Between Two Ferns type thing where we actually have a fireside, we can work on it. You know, yeah. We can go mobile, but, you know, it's a funny question, but the naming was more of a welcoming thing, like, hey, come on over, take a seat, listen to what we have to say, and give us some feedback type thing, you know.
Sure.
That was kind of what it was.
Well, I've talked with Max a little bit here, and he should be coming on this season, so I'm excited to have him on. It'll be very fun. Hmm. All right, next caller.
I'm sitting here, barbecue sauce on my titties.
All right, well, this one is not a... You're right.
Go on.
Okay. No, I think we're good. We don't need any more of that.
Fucking on my titties. Like, you wanted me calling me.
Next caller.
Is that your sister? Oh, yeah. What? What? What was that?
Let's do that again. All right.
Same barbecue lady, but she's climaxing in that one.
Well, it's a different number, though. It's a completely different area code.
It's a home phone, cell phone.
Who has a home phone? It's 2019. It's about to be 2020, man.
I have my digital media. Yeah.
I have a home phone. All right, next caller.
Hello, lads. Name is Joseph here calling in. Listen, just wanted to give a shout-out to my pal Caesar, who unfortunately passed away recently in a pretty gruesome accident. All I have to remember him by is the stupid bloody headband he always used to wear. Those Italians in their fashion. Shout out to season 2, Digital Fireside. Excited as always. Cheers.
Is that a JoJo reference?
I fucking hate him. I know exactly who fucking called it, but yeah. That is 100%
Joseph. I know that's a character from it's JoJo.
It's season 2, Pillarman, baby. But that sucks. I hope that you can cope and, you know, get revenge for Caesar. He sounded like a good guy, you know.
Yeah.
I think he liked that headband for you to call it stupid. It's kind of a douche move if you're really good friends with him. But, you know, whatever. Do your thing.
Well, I think you're inferring a lot. He just said he passed away. He didn't say anyone killed him. So, you know, peeling back the curtain here a little bit. But, okay. Next caller, go ahead.
Hello. My name is Anthony Marmalejo, a.k.a. Dr. Creepypasta. Just want to ask you a quick question about if you were ever going to plan on making another creepypasta video game type of thing. It'll be really interesting considering the fact that I did really enjoy the Ben Drown story, and I was thinking maybe you might want to come up with something new and fresh that basically might cringe us even more. Thank you so much for your time again.
Oh, well, thank you for the first actual question. I think we've got this entire little segment here. Yeah, I definitely have played around with the idea of doing other creepypasta stuff. And, you know, 2019 was a big, like, get back at it kind of thing with starting this sort of podcast, starting this recurring thing. So I'm kind of building momentum towards something pretty powerful. And I did some travel stuff out west to talk with some people that will go unnamed right now. But let's see what happens next year.
Yeah.
And
Chuck Strangle 2021.
There you go. Chuck strangled. John suffocated.
On PS4. Exclusive.
Let's see. Next caller. Thank you, Anthony.
Hey, Alex. This isn't really a funny voicemail, but an appreciation for your Ben Drown story. I know that's pretty old now, but I kind of get nostalgic thinking about it because that was my favorite story from whenever I was a kid. So I came around recently to look at what you've been doing, and it seems like you're doing a lot of stuff that you enjoy, and I wanted to just tell you to keep doing what you're doing. And I know you're probably not going to make any more stuff about the story, but I really appreciate that you're just doing your own podcast and stuff. But I'll let you go now. Have a nice day. Keep up the good work.
What an awesome person.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, thank you.
That was
again,
great.
Chuck Strangled 2021.
Catch it. Look for it.
What was her name again? What was
I don't think she said her name.
But well, thank you.
Well, we can read her phone number live, but no, I'm kidding.
Thank you. Well, is this your number?
No, thank you so much. That really means a lot. I do appreciate that.
It's awesome, man. I think it's pretty cool that she called to say just thanks for being you.
But she was so polite,
you know,
too.
It wasn't like these Pokemon people. No. You better give us what we want, goddammit. She's like, yo, he's just doing what he wants to
just
do. He's living his life.
My best life. Thank you so much. Yeah, that was very sweet.
Chuck Strangled. It's coming out.
Just doesn't have the same ring to it, you know?
All right. Luis suffocated. So.
Oh, God.
This time it's at sea.
Oh, wow.
It's a different. Wind Waker.
Wind Waker. Of course.
Mod. There you go.
That's a great, yeah. Got to update it to at least a game that's still almost 20 years old at this point. At least it's not 1999 anymore. 2001, something. Let's go here. Next caller, go ahead.
Three. Yo, Alex, Ben Albers. Bet you didn't realize Ben Drown had a last name. I wish we were hanging back at Flew in the 1R days, man. Really excited to track the show. Digital Fireside's where it's at. Love to see the progress. Big fan and can't wait to see where it goes. Peace.
Peace.
Oh, man. So that's a fun fact because I haven't heard from Ben in forever. That's great, dude. That's really cool. That was the character that I I basically was trying to pick a common name that I thought of, like my friend group back when I was trying to decide on the name for Ben Drowned. And my best friend at the time was Ben Albers, and he was a really close friend that we were in the same floor back in freshman year. And I'm like, dude, I named this guy after you. And he's like, all right.
Sick,
dude.
Fucking weirdo.
Who are you again? Alec? Is that what your name? Anthony?
The reason why is not just because of his name. I think you were looking at his traits. Like, you just pop up out of nowhere, like, oh, my fuck.
No, that dude's
sharpen your pencil in the middle of the class, and you get back out on your seat. You'd be like, shouldn't have done that.
Shouldn't have done that, man. I mean, that's true, too. Mm-hmm. He's a big dude. He's like... He's like 6'6", 6'7". He's taller than I am.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So when he snuck up on you, it was really terrifying. So got some Slenderman stuff going on.
You deserve to die if a 6'6 guy sneaks up
on you. Like, I got to question your survival instincts a little bit on that one. Let's see.
But thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
And thanks for your name contribution.
Yeah, no kidding.
To the legend that is Ben Drowned.
Next caller.
Yo, what up? This is Corey. I'm just leaving a message. I'm out and about doing errands. Have a good one.
Thanks, Corey. Appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, Corey. Yeah. Good job on those errands. Yeah. I hope they got done.
I hope you finished your errands.
If not, it's kind of shitty.
Yeah, it's been a few days, dude. Come on. Like, kind of get it together. I think that's all the ones that we have for right now. Again, if you want to call in, I would like to continue doing this segment. If you want to call in, the number is 323-207-5637. And leave a message. It could be anything. It could be asking a question, saying something JoJo-y reference-y or something like that. I don't know. I would dissuade you from doing that, but if you really have to, I suppose. Thank you for
that'd be
your...
That wasn't
right.
JoJo, I understand, but I'm saying the translation is believe it.
Oh my God. I'm regretting this so much. Anyway, the number is 323-207-5637. Callers are standing by. Operators are standing by. And by operator, I mean the voiceover machine. Okay, moving on. Do you want to do some comments? We got a little bit of time here.
Let's do it. See that shooting that went on today?
No.
In California? There's not a school shooting.
No.
It sucks.
It does suck.
Fucking Trump.
Trump's fault. Pretty sure we had those back before Trump became president, but...
Nope.
Let's see. I think this was... When did we stop the last time? It's been 2 months since we've done this.
I think they're there.
Okay.
If we recognize them, I'm sure. Sorry. Shut up, Captain.
Yeah. No one cares about the ads. let's just kind of.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, we haven't done this one.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. Do you want to go?
I don't recognize
through
any of these comments, unless they're new.
Do you memorize all these? I've forgotten all of them already.
I usually like one. Usually, like stand out. You know, like you're like, oh, well, I've seen that before.
What was that one dude that always was like hounding us?
Yeah, he's like, so when are you gonna make Ben drowned?
Yeah.
Or when's that movie coming out?
Yeah.
I was like, all right. We already addressed you in the comments.
We've addressed us like every
and
single time.
Someone commented underneath saying, what's going on?
I think
you're just doing it for clout now.
Yeah. That's his thing. That's his shtick.
And as we've seen, he hasn't been back, so good. Fuck that guy. Don't need those type of people in our comments.
Oh, God. Peace Duh asks, hey, Alex, what do you think about the black eyes, red pupils headcanon? I'm assuming you're referring to Ben.
What's the video? Oh, so we read your emails.
We just read emails.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a dude. I think there's so many different interpretations of it at this point. Like, you know, until there's an actual official design going out there.
Do you think like the guy who made up the more popular one with the, like the eye, like the crying eyes, like the blood or whatever, mm-hmm. and all that shit, like the one that like usually gets fanficked?
Yeah.
Do you think that guy has some type of like entitlement to the character now that you that model
actually,
has been? I brought him to life.
I brought him to life. You just made the story, so you can suck my dick.
You're just the Stan Lee. I'm the Jack Kirby.
I'm the Kevin Feige.
Okay, what about Paya Peridot? Oh boy, oh boy, I sure love hearing about Benjamin Franklin, the story of how he drowned and haunts a classic Nintendo game. That was him.
You know, I don't know. There is something about me that I hope never goes away, is that I always enjoy a really good, like, shit post. It's like a stupid-ass comment. Like, I hope no matter how old I get, I never lose that sense of humor.
It's because you grew up on Reddit, so.
Yeah, I think really it is, so it's like.
It's a part of you now.
I can't escape.
Molded by it. Born in the Reddit. This makes you in charge.
Audio, Summer Azure seems to say that audio does seem to get better this episode. I get it, man. Audio editing is a learning curve. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Hopefully, we've kind of found a good pace with that kind of stuff, but we'll see. We had some audio trouble at the very beginning here, so we'll see about going now.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We're figuring it out, all right? It's only season two, all right? People do this shit for decades. This is what I'm doing for 6 months, all right? Lay off me. But thank you for your comment.
I mean, lay on me, though.
Well, there you go.
My
number is 323-207-5637. Do you want to read some of these?
Literally just came here after watching the ARG sun up video 9 hours ago. What are the odds?
I think it's a sum up. This is.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But have you ever tried DMT?
I have, actually. I've tried it multiple times. It was life changing. It was great.
Cool comment. I don't really get it. So.
Well, it's like it's one of those things where it's like, hey, I just watched I just watched a video about Star Wars Attack of the Clones, and now there's an interview, which I don't know, dude. I'm trying to like relate this.
Oh, here's one.
It's weird coincidences.
This is before the wedding.
Yeah, it was. Just wait until Nathan Thomas, 1979, writes, just wait until Luke has to do the table seating chart. No, Aunt Betty, can't sit next to Uncle Jim and your three sisters. Can't sit next to John, Don Juan Giovanni. Do you like a bunch of Italians or something?
I don't know. I come off with a vibe that I'm dating or I'm married to a white girl. Is that the vibe that you just automatically like, oh, he's involved with a white girl for sure. I think that's what he's thinking. I don't know, but it's not Italian, Irish. But yeah, that was something funny. That's it. There's actually some truth to that comment where it's like, no, you can't sit there, okay? Get over it. This is not like we had some button heads, but yeah, it's true.
Really?
That's true about what he was saying there.
Huh.
I'm sure this is a married man. He's like, yeah, I'll just wait till that dude has to do that, I'm sure. Well, thanks for the comment, Nathan. Anonymous.
Anonymous says, be me. This is like a green text thing. Be me. Freshman. Look up creepypasta hint.
Tie.
And tie.
Cringe at it as I watch. Turn it off. Lay down. Think about the impact. Never sleep again. JK, but 39 minutes is the start of Ben's sexuality thing.
Thank you for timestamping that, Fox Shade. Yeah. I appreciate it.
39 is also the amount of inches his cock is.
Oh, my God. Hey there, sexy. That was probably one of the funniest episodes that we've done. Like, I was so, like, just... It's like watching something pure that you've created be twisted and demented by the internet. And
that's what it does.
It's what the internet's good at. It's very adept at that. But that was hilarious in retrospect watching that. But this, I think this is before we actually started reading that. I think we do that in one of the later videos.
Oh, sure.
Gladiolus says, I remember during one of the Chatango Q&A years ago, you said there was a theory that was pretty close to the basics of what was going on in the ARG. Mm-hmm. I've always been curious which theory it was. Would you be willing to tell us which one? If you even remember, LOL, it has been a long time. I don't remember what that was. It was probably like 7 or 8 years ago. I'll have to look it up, but I would be willing to update you guys if I figure that out. Midnight Paradise says, Y-E-S! And they got like the clapping.
I think it's yes.
Yes, King.
Well, no, it's not yes. It's just yes.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah, you got to read pretension.
I actually can't read too well. I have moderate to severe dyslexia.
Whatever happened to that sequel you planned?
They're back. The same fucking dude?
No, it's not. He's a different guy.
Super Saiyan 99 Lucario.
That's a really high Lucario.
Yeah. Well, he's Super Saiyan.
Untapped too. Potential.
I don't know. I feel like I've addressed this probably half a dozen times. I don't know why I even read that.
I think he's probably a new guy. He's like, oh, this guy.
This guy. What's supposed to
He's just now caught on to like, oh.
Cassandra writes, Alex, whatever happened to those videos you made talking about how you got out of a relationship with someone who had borderline personality disorder? Those were really informative, and I really enjoyed listening to them, and I can't seem to find them anywhere. Do you have any other dating advice videos? So that was a thing.
Probably two separate.
Yeah, probably two separate. Like, had to like save my ass and like get the fuck out of there. So two things. I guess I'll divide it into two different sections here. One for the Jesus. So basically with that, those two videos that I made, this was back in early 2018. So it's coming up on 2 years now, and that was when I got out of a rough relationship with someone who had borderline personality disorder. It was crazy. Mm. And I made those videos as kind of for a double purpose, kind of more cathartic for me to kind of get it out and talk about it, and also to kind of help men out there to better understand and know kind of the warning signs of someone with borderline personality disorder. So that kind of stuff doesn't really... or you can do your best to mitigate getting a relationship with someone who has that,
right?
Because it is incredibly destructive and insanely damaging. So
right. I wouldn't mind talking about that, because I have a couple close friends that have BPD, and it's not really a laughing matter. It's pretty ugly.
I can laugh about it now because I am so far removed at it, but that
it's not what you see in the movies. Like, oh, she's bipolar or something. One, bipolarism and that are completely different.
Yeah, they are.
And two, it's not as black and white as that.
Yeah.
To where it's like it's just like a switch. It's not like that, no.
Yeah. Well, I ended up...
It's different.
I made those videos private because I kind of realized at some point there was a lot of rambling because it wasn't like rambling necessarily, but like I was using those videos as a kind of
an outlet
basically to channel like what all the stuff I was feeling, that kind of stuff.
A therapist type thing.
Yeah, yeah. And like I realized that kind of stuff, it may have sounded like droning on a little bit. And I want to revisit that at some point and kind of deliver this message in a more succinct way so people can glean what they need to out of it. And so it helps people. Because again, I say it, I would be talking about it from like the man's perspective in terms of someone who is dating a woman who has BPD, but I'm sure there are some concepts that are applicable to both sexes, because I think men can get borderline personality disorder as well. I think it's rarer, but I think men can have it as well.
Yeah, I know for a fact they can.
Okay. But I wanted to like revisit it back when I was at a more comfortable place to talk about it. Now it's been like 2 years. I'm like flourishing. I'm doing great, and like everything's going really well. But
look at me now.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Paper. There is a time and place for that, and it's probably going to be soon. I'd like to do something like that this season and talk about it. But I took those down because it was raw and, there are some things I've learned since then by doing some research on it, yada, 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 that I can better articulate the points I was trying to get across. And, at some point, it's not a fucking diary for me. The reason why I really want to talk about it again is I want to help other people and other men to avoid the same kind of mistakes that I made with that sort of stuff.
It's not a hero, but.
Not a hero. But
just here for the people.
Just here for my people, Just here for my people. and the second part of your question, do you have any other dating advice videos? Maybe in the future, I guess. I don't know. But that's the next big one I think I'd want to do in terms of that.
That'd be a good video.
Yeah, I think so. I just need to find the right kind of avenue to do it. Maybe there's a person I would reach out to bring him on here, like a Skype session.
Maybe you should have a woman come in. Get their perspective. Is your advice valid in the eyes of a woman? I don't want to exclude anybody.
No, but that's the thing is like
straight.
Here's the thing that it kind of gets into a weird subject with, because women have a shit ton of support groups for that kind of stuff, and men really don't.
I'm not saying someone who's going to butt heads with you, just someone who can.
But I think a lot of stuff I would talk about is applicable and relatable to men, and.
You gotta have someone that has that. I'm not forcing you to bring in a woman here, but I'm saying
Lucas, it's my show.
It's not including inclusion, but I'm saying
yeah,
there are women out there who just have level heads. Like, yeah, I know, I'm needy. Or
of
yeah,
course.
I know.
Like, that's just not what I'm saying at all. But like, the person I'm having in mind is a guy who talks about like dating and relationship advice on YouTube, and
you just want to go to your man cave and
almost
man things, think, guys, trucks, sandbox. Monkey barrels.
Monkey barrels.
Donkey Kong. What if Ben swam? Then
I guess he wouldn't have fucking drowned. Next question. Joss Anime Animations.
No, it's Amations.
Amations.
Josh Amations.
Hey, Alex, I'm working on a project and I have a quick question. Does Ben have a backstory and what's his last name? It's implied that his last name is Lawman, but I just wanted to check. After all, you are his creator. If you do respond, could you please reply to my comment so I get it as fast as possible? Your response would be greatly appreciated.
That was 2 months ago. He's definitely concluded that.
Whoops.
That story.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I can't answer that right now. There's things that are kind of in motion with this sort of stuff.
Can't talk about it.
I can't talk about it. Leave
Joss.
Me alone.
How dare you?
Milk tea? Is it true that the entity Ben isn't actually the deceased child, but rather a spirit or a demon that took his name after he died? And if so, what happened to Ben's corpse? I really enjoyed this podcast, by the way, and I have not had any problems with the volume. Apologize for the grim question. Thank you, Milk Tea. That is an interesting observation.
I think you're saying that because you didn't think it would go this far. Like, I don't think you planned. You didn't have a contingency.
Maybe
it
kind of
became its own monster.
Maybe it isn't. Who knows?
You guys think he went into more depth than what he did? He was pooped after the story. After he finished writing that damn story and put it together, put online, he's like, all right.
I slept for like 2 days after. I was like,
that's it.
Done.
You know, he's not God, but he rested on the last day, on the third day.
Day,
heroes.
Ben drowned for Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Hey, I agree, Robert.
Yeah, we just need another Link.
No, he'd make a really good assist trophy, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
true.
He pops in and just like paralyzes everyone or something. I don't know. let's see. Pista writes it again and says, I just noticed the LED strip-like colors have always been the same throughout the Digital Fireside. Huh. Interesting. Also, the episode is interesting and to watch, even despite the fact that I don't know what to do with my life and don't really have any real passion yet. Here are some really interesting points in the video.
This is under the
For Creatives and Entrepreneurs when we had, yes, Stan Mattingly on. Yeah, Stan's a really interesting guy, and he's very talented, and he's a bit of a renaissance man, so it's like – I can get how that might be, like, you know, intimidating a little bit for someone watching it. But I think the important thing is to start doing something. And if it's big, small, whatever,
start.
Just start. And, you know, I'm not exactly, we're going on almost 2 hours here. I'm not exactly in a great, like, life advice kind of like amp up sort of mood. But, like, I would like to revisit that again. And I have a guest coming on that would be able, that's going to expand upon that a little bit.
Just like, oh, I can't do 50 push-ups. We'll just do one today.
Yeah.
You know, do two tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You'll be surprised what happens.
Do three the next day. All right. Well, this one's the comments on We Read Ben Drowned Fan Fiction. do you want to dive into something?
Let's go with the first one. You always got to start off right with the first one. Okay. So, Akuyui, I guess, with the weird face, says me over my creepy pasta face.
Creepy pasta face.
Me. Sees notification. Also me. Aw, shit. Here we go again.
Aw, shit.
Here we go again.
Satan writes in and says, Luke's voice as Ben is just fucking hilarious.
Thanks, Conor McGregor.
You heard his song Notorious?
Yeah.
I have it on Spotify. It's actually kind of good. A little bit. It's going to work out.
I lost respect for you. So. Jesus Christ, I had to skip some of that. Absolutely terrible. Still, you two never fail to make my day more enjoyable. So happy for Luke. I think he's talking about the fan fiction. Let's just go with that. I don't think he was talking about us.
What?
He said he had to skip some of that because it was terrible.
Absolutely terrible. This podcast sucks.
But happy for you.
Yeah, but happy for you. You know, it's clear you're doing something that you enjoy, I guess. So it's terrible, but, you know, good job. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dryer Sheet. I think I was also talking about the wedding.
Yeah, I think he was too. Pete Baddock writes in.
Pete, terrible penis.
I think Pete Awful Dick writes in.
Dick, terrible penis.
I think we need to have like a counter. It's like one thing that we do every episode, no matter what, we always have to mention Pete once. And he somehow finds his way onto every single episode.
Little fucking bastard.
Son of a bitch. Pete says, oh sweet, a new digital fireside. Let's check it out. And then in bold text, gets absolutely roasted in front of thousands of listeners. Yeah, well, that's just kind of...
It's life in the big city, man.
Big city. Life in the big game, man.
We could just, like, you know, not mention you.
Well, we already committed to the bit now. We got to keep mentioning it.
I guess
we
got to mention it. All right, let's see.
I think a reoccurring sentiment is that the fan fiction stuff was very difficult for some people to get through.
Yeah, there's a couple of them just like, the creepypasta says, LOL, Russians doing gay from Ben or something like that with him.
I think he's Russian, too. I don't know.
We have a lot of, like, yeah.
That really surprises me.
Russian viewers.
Well, it's interesting.
They understand what we're saying. They type in, like.
I guess.
They type in.
They're bilingual.
I don't know. What do you call the print? Like, what do you call that?
Sanskrit.
Russian?
Hieroglyphic.
The Egyptians. I don't know. Well, they do that, though. Another painful mistakes have been made. You want to read that one? Amethyst
Julian says, oh my god, did you two even realize you were reading a sex scene at one point? XD. I already had read so many Ben Drowned fan fictions, and damn, they're mostly all the same, to be honest. I know, it's very disappointing as a creator of this. You could have made him like more scary stuff or more kind of cool.
But somehow he always ends always up with his giant dick.
Yeah, I don't get it. Fucking... I mean, it really hurts to see how Ben and other creepypastas are changed from their psychotic selves to persons who are all lovey-dovey.
Thank you.
Thank you. They're not some kind of sweet lovers. They're killers. Thank you. But still, it's funny listening and watching you two read fan fictions about Ben Drown XD. I mean, I couldn't take you too seriously at all. Neither can I see Ben as something scary any longer. Oh, shit, I'm retroactively ruining my own creation. The creepypasta fandom completely ruined his image. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I guess it wasn't all you then.
Question mark says they shouldn't have done that unironically.
That's kind of funny.
That is pretty funny.
But I think it went well, so.
Yeah, I think it went well, too. I had fun doing it, so.
What about Olivia Magneta? She says, maybe you guys can react to animation memes in the future. Just a suggestion. I like your effort, though. Your channel is much appreciated.
Thank you, Olivia. That's something that I was thinking about, too, is that could be kind of funny. Like, watch different, like there's a million and one. Like they had that stupid YouTube celebrity doing like a Ben Drown Got Me at Midnight thing.
Really?
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, it's some fucking Zoomer looking kid.
I thought you just said Boomer.
Zoomer.
Okay, Boomer.
Yeah, okay, Boomer. Let's see. Any comments on number 16? Let them fight. The Mast Master says, Dear Alex Hall, your story is going to get a major upgrade. I love to include you in the process. I'll establish contact with you when the time is right. I think I'm going to get inducted into a cult here soon.
I think it actually might be someone who knows something about the future and is trying to save you from a Terminator. Listen, you're not safe. I'll contact you. You don't contact me. You get pulled into a van on the street when we leave here.
Okay, well, I had a good run. Just make sure to upload this if I go away.
Just make sure. Game Boy Geek. Alex, I have a question. How did you manage to make the Ben Drown ROM? This is a political interview. Yeah, page.
It was when we were talking about the DNC. Can we get away from Ben Drown for 2 seconds?
Fuck.
Jesus.
He's doing this to not only have Ben Drown.
This is going to be it. We're going to be doing this like 5 years from now. We're still going to get these same fucking questions. No, it's okay. I'm just giving it a hard time as part of a comedy bit thing. But I edited an emulated version of Majora's Mask. I went into the code and basically learned to run certain strings of code to play certain animations and basically debug the game to the point where it would act out the scenes I was writing about. It's the long and short of it. I've done some interviews on that with Kotaku, Joystick, and some other publications about the more in-depth stuff with that. But yeah, that's kind of the long and short of it.
Speaking of Kotaku, they gave it a pretty good review for Pokemon.
Well, sounds like Kotaku. Rachel Graves.
They must like any type of shit.
Rachel Graves writes in, this podcast caused me to look into Tulsi Gabbard. I am super interested now. Thank you, Alex. Very cool.
Yeah, eat shit, Rachel. Yang gang all day.
No, Tulsi's all right. I think, anyway. We'll see. But that's cool. I'm glad we at least are able to kind of broaden some.
I am glad that someone said something about what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's right. Tootie the Boy writes in and says, what happened to the Clive Barker series? I think we already explained that, but that ended up falling through with Warner Brothers back in 2016. Yeah. Well, Machinima, and like they announced it, Warner Brothers announced it in 2015, but ended up falling through, and nothing up with that. Oh, Sushi writes in, says, okay, so you know how in the text file, the truth, it says not to trust his YouTube or anything else after the file was uploaded? Well, what if Ben was still in control? What if it never ended?
Again, political video. But
it's a good point. I don't know. Something to think about.
We can't confirm or deny.
All right. You want to get this top one here?
Reflian says, okay, so I was fangirl hunting. Weird. So I typed in Ben Drowned Wife, sorted it to channels, and your channel was the first that popped up.
Good. I am Ben Drowned's Wife.
Big smiley face.
That is true.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, they have gone through some rough times, but, you know, they're back together. They're no
stronger
longer
than ever.
You know, in this 2019 society, they feel like they can be out in public together now.
That's true.
Instead of popping up out of nowhere.
That's true.
But, yeah, they're working on it, just like everyone else. They're not heroes.
Stranger writes in and says, dunno when the Ben Drown guy started hosting Trump Derangement Syndrome, the podcast, but I guess it's the world we live in now. We have another one saying, Skin Dizzle says, Orange Man bad. Just for the record, I am not, like, staunchly opposed to Trump like some people might think I am, just because I am not conservative or whatnot. I can admit that he's probably done a few things right, and I kind of keep my own personal political stuff really close to the chest.
I don't like him. Fuck him.
Luke doesn't like him, so we're kind of half and half here a little bit. But... you know, we'll see what happens with that sort of stuff. I think that you can rest easy. I think that he's going to get another term. But
I guess I should clarify. I don't mind. I don't know him, so I don't know.
You don't know him personally.
No, no. I don't like how I don't. He's not a leader to me.
That's fair.
Have any leader qualities. He wasn't qualified for the job. I feel like he bullshitted his way. He's like, he like got an A on a paper that he didn't write, you know. That I could go into that, but we don't have that much time left.
I think
but
at some point we should get into like he's debate some of this stuff. Yeah,
sure. He's a can of worms for sure. I feel like that it's not a good look for us as a country. But I digress.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the middle on a lot of this stuff, and I'll leave it at that for now. But it's not as cut and dry as you might think, dude.
Mickey Hoffman, new subscriber. Love your stuff.
Aw, thanks, Mickey.
Hey, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
Dead Promise says, have you ever seen the side curtain of a blind side?
The fuck does it even mean?
I don't know. I think I just activated someone that's watching this. It's like a Russian sleeper. Like,
I remember I did read one of those comments.
Jason like, Bourne!
You should have. Shouldn't have done that. Now you got me fucking saying bend down shit. All right, let's go a little bit over.
I think that was it. The next one says season two is coming.
It might be a comment on there. It got some views. There you go.
Probably.
See, you should have put comment with two with the UMM, but that's a counter. See?
Yeah.
Got 11. Nice.
Pista says, Pista's like a repeat viewer.
Good.
Why all the dislikes? Do you mean people seriously think an announcement of the third arc? Waiting for the second season, by the way. Won't call you myself, though, because it's too scary. You should call anyway and leave a voicemail. It's great. Hope someone else will scream, Sika Blat! Bliat!
Well, now you definitely just...
Sika Bliat! it's C-Y-K-A-B-L-Y-A-T into the mic or something. Well, I only got 5 dislikes. That's okay. You know, as someone who has a...
With a prize.
A kind of a following or whatnot, I kind of get that people are... clamoring for something else, and it's just not.
Let me read the guy's reply to that.
Oh my god!
So he goes, Fandroid Fan Roblox 9000. Great comment, by the way. I know, right? The third arc is supposed to be coming after Methods of Revolution, guys. No need to dislike.
Jesus,
he's giving you hell for not doing it.
Well, no, I think that's fair, and I've already kind of explained. Yeah, I've already
fair
kind
play.
Of explained like refunding people
fair
and that
play.
Kind of stuff. So
it's fair play, mate.
Nico Bellic says, why did you do it, Alex? Why did you burn me? I guess I killed the protagonist of GTA 4.
Yeah, what?
So that's the next
literally
one.
Literally who it is.
That's the next one. That's Ben Drowned 2. It's Nico.
Again, with the...
Ignited.
The next comment is in Russian. We can't read it, but it has a smiley face, so good, I guess.
Yeah, I was hoping this was a promo for the Ben Drowned sequel. Did you know that Ben Drowned? They're all the same. Okay. Thanks for writing it.
What was that, the Khaleesi meme? She's like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for writing.
All right, folks. Let's do this. If you want to send us an email, it's contact, C-O-N-T-A-C-T, at the Digital Fireside. I almost had a brain for you. Think of something else. Contact at thedigitalfireside.com. If you want to give us a call and leave us a funny voicemail, we will play it on air and answer it.
The most interesting will be able to come in and sit on Alex's lap.
Don't say that. It's not true. You can call us at 323-207-5637. Again, that number is 323-207-5637. All right, friends and family, you can find me on Alexander D. Hall on Twitter, Facebook, and that's it. What about you, Luke?
They can find me at Indy Chubbs, 2 B's. On Twitter and Instagram.
All right. Well, thank you again, and we are happy to be back. We're happy for all the support. Thank you guys for everyone who called. That was hilarious, every single one of them. I love you guys, and we will see you all soon. See ya.